At year's end, the U.S. economy is bouncing back. The Dow and NASDAQ are up, and in Iraq, Saddam Hussein has been captured. Great news for Republicans, but not so great for Democrats eager to highlight White House failures. The Iowa caucus is just 3 weeks away, and in recent days, the infighting among Democratic presidential contenders has turned downright vicious, with most of the jabs aimed at the presumed frontrunner, Howard Dean. To talk about the campaign developments, we turn now to E.J. Dionne, a columnist with The Washington Post, and David Brooks, columnist with The New York Times. E.J., let's start with you. Is all this rancor undermining the Democrats in the general election?
You know, it could, although if we go back to 2000, there was an awful lot of rancor between George W. Bush and McCain supporters, and in the end, it didn't seem to hurt Bush. I think what we're watching is a transition from 2003 to 2004. 2003 was about Democrats finding their voice and really going after Bush, and Howard Dean became the symbol and the representative of that anger in the Democratic Party. I think in 2004, Democrats are going to say, okay, we got that off our chests. We still can't stand Bush. We can't stand him so much that we want to beat him. Dean has to convince Democrats that he can actually win the election. And all these other Democrats, you take whatever argument each is making, it all comes down to arguing Howard Dean can't beat him and I might be able to. And I think that's what's going to be decided in the next 6 weeks.
But we've had some interesting developments this week with all of the candidates now piling on Howard Dean. He picks up the phone and calls Democratic National Committee Chairman Terry McAuliffe and he says, tell these guys to play fair. Stop beating up on me. Is this taking sandbox politics to a new level?
It's ludicrous because he's the guy who spent the past year attacking the Washington establishment in the most vicious and hostile terms. And suddenly when they finally start a bit of attacking back, suddenly he wants the game to be over. I think what's hurt Dean in the past week is not so much that he's being attacked, but he hasn't been able to rise above it. He's been responding to the bait, attacking centrist Democrats as Republicans, attacking other Democrats back, and he's looked a little testy. I think they have made a decent case, or are beginning to make a decent case, that he is not the best candidate to take on George W. Bush. They have not made the case at all that one of them is better.
That's exactly right. I think that the problem that Democrats have is that there are a lot of Democrats out there who have doubts about Dean, but they can't land on somebody. They can't say, Dick Gephardt could do this job, or Wesley Clark, or John Kerry, or John Edwards. They can't figure out who that other person is. The votes in the primaries may help clarify that some. That's Dean's best card, is how divided his opposition is, and he clearly still has a core of support that I think will be difficult to shake.
And EJ, on that, speaking of that core of support, Dean is not taking any of this lying down. He issued a not-so-subtle threat this week and said that if he's not the nominee, that all those young people that he's mobilized largely on the net might choose to stay home next November.
I think it's the sort of thing that he should have let other people say and shouldn't have said it himself. Because if there's one thing the Democrats are clear on right now, it's that they want to beat Bush. And to have him issue that threat this early is a sign perhaps that he's feeling rattled. On the other hand, the content of what he said, I think it is possible that if Dean is seen to have been undermined by anything that looks like an establishment gang up, it will create problems for Democrats among some of those Dean loyalists.
I've had sort of an opposite quandary, which is all these elected Washington Democrats who he's been attacking all these years, if he is the nominee, will they sit on their hands during the election? And so I've gone around asking a bunch of them that question. And the best answer I got to that was, we remember 1980, when Jimmy Carter and Ted Kennedy could not get together. And their view is that inability to get together, which was mostly Ted Kennedy's fault, really destroyed the Carter candidacy, and they don't want that to happen again. So in Washington terms, a lot of Democrats I've spoken to really don't like Dean, don't think he can win, but they are not willing to see the party divided next year.
So on one hand, Dean finds himself under attack from his Democratic rivals. Now, on the other side, the White House has enjoyed a good run of news at the end of the year. The markets are up. Saddam's behind bars. The labor market appears, at least according to some economists, to be on the rebound. Have these developments taken together slowed Dean's momentum, David?
Yeah, I think the fundamental problem Dean has is the fact that he's a Northeastern liberal governor who wants to raise middle-class taxes, whose most famous accomplishment as governor was gay unions. I mean, that's the fundamental problem. The problem is that's not sellable in most of America. And if you go to the White House and talk to the people there, they have this sense of we have to restrain our overconfidence. But they are nonetheless pretty confident going into this election running against Howard Dean. They genuinely do believe He is the weakest of the major Democratic candidates, and they feel that the economy is rebounding. I do think they are tremendously worried about Iraq.
So has that slowed Dean's momentum, though? Is he still a front runner with some steam behind him at this point?
Well, yes, he is the front runner. I mean, we talk about the mistakes he's made. There's a lot of talk in the press corps, especially about the temperament problem, the arrogance. It has to be said, there is very little evidence that among voters this has registered or that they mind. There is one little poll in New Hampshire which shows him dropping about 8% from where he was, from 45% to 37%. That is the only shred of evidence that he's being hurt. And we've been through this before where a lot of us journalists thought he's stumbled, and there's been no sign of that among voters. So until we see some evidence otherwise, you have to think he's just chugging along.
And at this point, the Bush presidential campaign is developing a campaign strategy that's based on Howard Dean as the eventual nominee. Is that wishful thinking on their part, EJ?
Well, I think it's a mistake, to paraphrase the president, to misunderestimate Howard Dean. I think that Howard Dean has shown a kind of toughness and a political agility that despite some of these dumb statements, he keeps managing to come out on top. But I do think this poll in New Hampshire that David mentioned will either be an outlier or it's an important straw in the wind, because it's really the first time that you've actually seen the Dean momentum reversed in some way. And if that slippage is real and is confirmed by other polls, it suggests these attacks are having an effect. That means they will continue. That means Dean will be on the defensive for the first time in this entire campaign. Dean has run the campaign for 2003. Democrats chased him to be the most anti-Bush candidate. Now they're reacting to him. If Dean starts reacting to them, I think that's a sign that, yes, the Bush White House may be picking the winner of the Democratic primary a little bit too early.
One last question just to wrap up for both of you. As the Democrats try to win the moderate wing of the party, the so-called Reagan Democrats that the party lost in droves in the 1980s, do they embrace Bill Clinton or do they distance themselves from Bill Clinton quickly? EJ?
The times call for more toughness than Bill Clinton needed to show in the 90s, so they got to be tough. And I think some of the people they've lost, particularly among white men, would not be at all averse to a tough Democratic candidacy. But Bill Clinton understood that he was a man of his time. They've got to be people of this time. It's a very different circumstance after 9/11. I think they need to figure out how to be patriotic, optimistic, and show how this links up to their domestic policies. I think it's doable. It's going to be harder than it might have seemed about 2 months ago before the economic news changed.
And just quickly, David.
It's about religion. This electorate is divided by religion, not by class. And Democrats are not that good at transmitting conservative religious social values. The only Democrat who I think is coming closest is, ironically enough, Hillary Clinton. On Iraq, she's been critical of the administration, but supportive in the broader sense, has had a series of aggressive suggestions. We need to increase the number of troops. And I think she has done the best job of any Democrat in the country over the past 2 or 3 months of being critical, yet optimistic, yet positive, yet intelligent, without seeming angry, alienated, or retreating into a liberal cocoon. She's done fantastically, much better than Howard Dean, I think.
We can say that the draft Hillary movement started here with David Brooks.
That's the shadow candidate. We'll have to leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
E.J. Dionne, a columnist with The Washington Post, and David Brooks, a columnist with The New York Times.